KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's partly cloudy and 27 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Well, the city of Council Bluffs may be forced to levy a special tax to pay two black men if a jury blames the city and two retired police officers for their wrongful conviction. Terry Harrington and Curtis McGee of Omaha claim the city and two police investigators targeted them for the shooting of a former police captain because of their race. The men were freed in 2003 after 25 years in prison when the Iowa Supreme Court found prosecutors committed misconduct. The men are suing the city and the policemen for $100 million. Three city insurers have won court cases that relieve them from paying any judgment, although one case is on appeal. Without insurance coverage, Council Bluffs may have to tax property owners to raise enough money to pay. News time is 8:03.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Atlantic City Council this evening is expected to act on a resolution accepting the 2013 budget for Atlantic Municipal Utilities. AMU says its total budget for 2013 is up 12.1% from the current year. The utility says they've seen a 35.5% increase in electric production costs and a 21.5% increase in the cost of transmitting electricity. If the council feels AMU's budget report is not detailed enough or fails to provide a complete financial picture, they do have the option of declining it, but that's about it. In other business, the Atlantic City Council will hear a report from Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring. They'll also act on a resolution accepting work on construction of the city street maintenance garage and approval of various change orders for the hot melt asphalt street resurfacing and the wastewater treatment plant improvement projects. The city council meeting begins at 5:30 at the Atlantic City Hall. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday they arrested on Saturday a Cumberland man. 51-year-old Kevin Floyd Edwards was taken into custody in a Cass County Sheriff's warrant for OWI second offense and an additional charge of possession of drug paraphernalia. Edwards was taken to the Cass County Jail and later released that day on a $2,000 bond. And 29-year-old Eddie Ray Mack Jr. of Audubon was arrested Saturday on a charge of violating a no-contact order. Mack Jr. was taken to the Cass County Jail, pled not guilty to the charge, and was released on Sunday. The Sheriff's Office said also that 50-year-old Catherine Ann Renault of Atlantic was arrested on November 28th on a charge of OWI first offense. Renault was taken to the Cass County Jail, where she was released the following day on $1,000 bond. Two Atlantic residents were arrested on assault charges Monday. According to Atlantic Police, 38-year-old Stephen Gustin was arrested for domestic abuse assault, and 19-year-old Andrew Keitlinger was arrested for serious domestic abuse assault. Both men were booked into the Cass County Jail. The Adams County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that one person was arrested Monday night on a drug charge. 30-year-old Gary Lilly of Prescott was taken into custody at around 8:50 p.m. on a warrant charging him with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana. The warrant was issued following an investigation into an incident which occurred October 16th. Lilly was being held in the Adams County Jail on $1,000 bond. And the Fremont County Sheriff's Department on Tuesday released a report on arrests from over the past week. Officials said on Sunday, 40-year-old Tanya Trimble of Omaha was arrested in Fremont County on a warrant out of Pottawatomie County. Last Saturday, 19-year-old Corey Moracle of Malvern was arrested for OWI first offense, careless driving, and open container. On Friday, 37-year-old William Fuller of Shenandoah was arrested in Fremont County on a possession with the intent to deliver meth and possession of drug paraphernalia charge. And that same day, 26-year-old Ronald Hankins of Tabor was arrested for driving under suspension, trespassing, and an ATV violation. And this past Tuesday, November 27th, 57-year-old Candace Arman of Glenwood was arrested for OWI second offense in Fremont County. Well, William Walkin' Willie Perkins was given a final farewell by friends in Nebraska City, Nebraska, as his funeral procession left the downtown and headed to Iowa for his burial. The Lincoln Journal Star said that Perkins was 79 when he died November 27th at a Lincoln, Nebraska hospital. He'd been struck by a car November 6th in Nebraska City. Friends say Perkins got the nickname of Walkin' Willie because he used to walk 16 miles from Hamburg, Iowa, to Nebraska City to work or to pick up his mail. Perkins became a downtown fixture, visiting friends and stores and offices when he moved to Nebraska City 10 years ago. The Goody Funeral Home had encouraged people to turn out on Friday to watch the procession as it turned down Central Avenue. He was buried in Riverton, Iowa. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Office said a man was flown to a Sioux City hospital after falling from a water tower in northwest Iowa. Sergeant Gene Hacker said the man fell and his safety cable broke Tuesday while he was working on a water tower in Pearson. That's about 25 miles east of Sioux City. The accident was reported around 4:30 p.m. His name has not been released. Sergeant Hacker said the man was conscious after the fall. It wasn't clear how far he fell, though. And a 25-year-old Sioux City man who'd been tracking his estranged wife has been convicted of interstate stalking and a weapons charge. Federal prosecutors say Ralph Rogers was convicted last week. The jury acquitted Rogers of kidnapping and other weapons charges. Rogers pleaded guilty in September to another weapons charge. His sentencing date has not yet been set. Prosecutors say that Rogers had secretly placed a GPS device on his estranged wife's car. Investigators say that when the tracking device showed that she'd stopped at a residence in South Sioux City, Nebraska, Rogers got a handgun and drove there. The prosecutors say Rogers entered the home without permission and assaulted one of the people inside. Prosecutors say Rogers then took his estranged wife back to his home in Sioux City. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the Egyptian president's Muslim Brotherhood has called on supporters to rally outside the presidential palace for a rival demonstration countering opponents of the Islamist leader. Today's rallying call sets up a potential clash between the two sides. About 300 opposition supporters are staging at a sit-in outside of the presidential palace. Opponents want Mohamed Morsi to rescind decrees, giving him nearly unrestricted powers. There is further evidence of economic gloom today in Europe, where retail sales across the 17 European countries that use the euro slumped far more than anticipated in October. The slump, largely due to a huge drop in Germany, will put more pressure on the European Central Bank to cut borrowing rates soon. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton says the European allies need to follow through on their pledges to Afghanistan's security after most international troops withdrew in 2014. Speaking at a NATO headquarters on behalf of the administration, Mrs. Clinton said that she urged those who haven't committed any funding to do so. And billions of dollars in stalled cargo will finally get moving today at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, where clerical workers have reached a tentative contract agreement. Thousands of longshoremen at the nation's largest port complex will return to work after having honored the picket lines. News time is 8:10.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in the funeral announcements, Dennis Collins, age 50, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Dennis Collins will be today at 1 o'clock at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Larry Kester, age 54, of Harlan, died Saturday. A prayer service for Larry Kester will be today at 4 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. No other services are planned. Margaret Moore, age 90, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Margaret Moore will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Daniel Weiss, age 50, of Walnut, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Daniel Weiss will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the Walnut American Legion Hall. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Cleo Larby, age 87, and formerly of Manila, died on November 26th in Colorado. Funeral services for Cleo Larby will be on Friday at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Manila. OD Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Josephine Fagan, age 84, of Panora, died Saturday at the Greene County Medical Center in Jefferson. There are no services planned for Josephine Fagan. The Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. And Charlotte Lewis, age 96, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Funeral services for Charlotte Lewis are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.